wrapped up in the physical things that we miss out on the spiritual things. And everything with Him, this is still a part of the benefit of being saved. The armor is a benefit of your salvation. And Steve's done such a good job teaching about justification and sanctification and glorification. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah. And if you'll just leave, grab you some Oreos, Andrew, but leave that package up there in case people come in late, Dean. You can sugarfy them for us. There is a reason for those. I'll get to it in a minute. But, yeah, so it's always more than what we think. It's always an action of the Spirit. They're symbolic things, yes, but this is a part of our salvation. So tonight, everybody get Oreos so far? You got your Oreos? Okay. I want to read you a little article. Michael, you'll have to get your Oreos. That made you smile, Tabitha, but there you go. I don't eat sugar, so I'm not going to have any, but I want to read to you a little study that is a scientific study, okay? And it says that animal studies show that Oreos are more powerful than heroin. Are y'all excited now as you dig the middle out? Yeah. And it says, why? Because it's the perfect blend of sugar and fat needed to hijack the brain's reward center. So clearly, I just think it's hilarious that science always backs up what the Bible has already told us. That the pleasure that we find in our minds and that, you know, it's these imaginations and things. And it says that's because when you get sugar, you get a rush that releases neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine. And the effect is not only pleasurable, but it eases pain in the moment anyway. Long term, you're looking at dangerous blood sugar spikes that can cause type 2 diabetes, and it's got a bunch of letters there, high cholesterol, and worse. And it's not just Oreos we're talking about. But you could be choosing healthy foods like brown rice, pasta, orange juice, and even beets that can cause your body to release a rush of insulin that can keep you physically hooked on a high sugar diet. So wasn't that edifying right now while you're eating your Oreos? You're welcome. And the reason that I wanted to share that is because, guys, the battle still is in the mind, okay? But there are natural things as well as supernatural things that affect the brain, okay? And that affects your emotions. A lot of that are things that are seen, right? The sight, the hearing, the smell, the touch, all those things can affect how we feel about things. But here we are, and tonight what I want to talk to you about is that there is a real battle, and that Satan has planted seeds of soil in the good soil of your mind. He's always planting seeds to discourage you. So I'd like for you, if you have your Bible, if you don't, if you'll grab a pew Bible, I'm going to wait for you to get to page 345, which is Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, it's page 344, but 344, 45, it's just right across there. Somebody shout out when you got it. Okay. So here's the story of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. Okay. So Nehemiah was in the king's palace. He was a servant. Servants in the king's palace, really, it's not what you think. They really had a very good life. And he was so torn up that the wall was broken in Jerusalem that he asked basically for a sabbatical to go get his people rallied together to rebuild this wall because Jerusalem is home. So while he's in there, here's what's happened. Let's read 4:2. And let's see, we'll back up. Let's just read one. So we'll start one. So he's been rebuilding the wall. So now Sanballat, who's like a governor in another area, but he's not Jewish, he heard that we were building the wall, and he became angry and was greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing?" I want to tell you something. When you've got a plan from God, people are always going to think that makes you weak. Well, guess what? When I'm weak, he's strong. So there you go. And he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish it in a day?" I mean, they're just mocking them. "Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Well, here's the thing. All the world sees is rubble. The world doesn't see value in the things that we see value in. It breaks my heart to watch people come in that have become shells and empty from what the world's done to them. And most of the time, they're mad at God because it happened. But it breaks my heart because I don't see rubble. I still see value. Because praise God, he saw value in me. And James 2 tells us that any one thing you do and any one thing I do, it's just the same to God. Is just sin. And yet he brings me back to wholeness, and he enlightens me to show me this thing is not going to help you. This is an unhealthy choice or a healthy choice, you know, as we munch on Oreos, but you know what I'm saying. And he's showing us those things. So now let's move down, because the world sees the rubble in verse 2. But here's what happens now. Let's look at verse 6. "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Wow, they've already built this wall halfway back up, okay? And now the work, you know, there's not social media. They had to travel to look at it and prove it and all that other stuff. But here they are, they've recognized these feeble Jews are taking these burnt stones, this rubble, and they're mocking them. But the Jews weren't looking at the rubble, because the word says they had in themselves, they worked with all their heart. So the heart is the seat of your emotions. Fixing to sneeze. The heart. Thank you. So here they are. And they're just working, and they're so excited about working that they don't realize that they're just dealing with rubble. Listen with spiritual ears, because this is important tonight. So while they're building, they just are like, "Man, we're halfway. Look at how much we've accomplished." They never saw rubble, but the world saw rubble. But here's what happens. In between our progress, if we focus on what the world says instead of staying focused on God, we're going to begin to see our progress as just rubble. And instead of seeing how much progress we've made, sounded like the wabbit, that guy, the progress we've made, we begin to get in agreement with, well, what's it worth anyway? What's really, how much was that worth? So here's the thing. They're half the way up. But they could see, now we look down at verse 10, and it said, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" So tell me, what changed between verse 6, where they'd gone halfway and they were working with full heart? What changed between there and verse 10, where they said, "We're wearing out"? What was it? Yes. What else? Thank you. Yeah, I gave you some answers. There's more. Doubt, right? They begin to doubt what God said. But guys, not just those things. Why? What was it that took out from their doing it with their whole heart? What was it? Yep. But the lack of faith came from the report of the world. They began to listen to the report of the world and not at the progress that they've done. And this is the thing with the helmet. We're going to look at what the helmet really is. But they saw rubble instead of possibility because they let somebody else tell them what they didn't have. Stay with me. Instead of what they had. And instead of thinking, I'm dependent on God, I'm weak, He's strong in me now, they begin to think, what's wrong with us? We're not as strong as we were. Because the report of the enemy wanted them to get in agreement with what they couldn't do instead of the possibility of what God could do. See, if it's in my own strength, I'm going to tell you, I'll cave. I did not have an Oreo, but we know tonight they're more addictive than heroin. We've got the scientific proof. I'll leave the paper down here. But even that, when I read that report, I don't have to say, well, you know, that's better than doing heroin, right? And yet, I have to tell them all the time, when people come over here and they fight over sweets, I have to tell them, guys, they're coming off something. They're looking for another rush to build them back up. That's why they fight for the stuff, right? And this scientific thing backs that up and proves it. But here's my deal. I am not the judge to condone or condemn. But I want to tell you something. I'm proud of people who are coming off drugs and eat a whole cake in one sitting. All right? We need to stop judging people for what we see and recognize how far they've come. We were just talking about this on Monday about, you know, people were... we went on a missions trip one time and, you know, we're just taking Christian Center people, all saved by grace, loving the Lord, right? And we go down on this bus and it's not even air conditioned. It was just to Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I heard a moan and groan. Dean, were you driving that bus? Okay. Well, anyway, we got down there and, so we're working on this little building, and we're excited about working for Jesus. And listen, again, don't get off on condoning or condemning. Don't do that. Just stay with me to the truth of this. So after one evening, there's a couple of our workers that go out behind the building to smoke. Well, oh, you never should have done these people. You know, it's horrible. They're wicked. And we're like, okay, we're horrible. We're wicked, you know. And after we got our tongue lashing, Steve and I were talking, and it was like, what is wrong with us? Those people have come off smoking dope, hard stuff, maybe before that. I'm not a drug specialist, but they went to pot. They're on cigarettes. We thought that was acceptable to get somebody to a missions work to work. Are you following me without getting caught up in the world stuff? So I think that sometimes people are looking at where you are instead of where you've been. Now stay with me, because I'm not just talking about people that judge. I'm talking about you and me. We're halfway doing something, what God wants us to do. Building this wall was a slow process. The things that God is doing in my life, it's a slow process. Okay? Because I can tell you there's still some things I still struggle with, but the point I want to make to you tonight is I'm struggling. I'm not giving in. I'm still not saying that's okay, you deserve it, you know, you had a bad day, had a bad week, get out the Oreos, lay it on, you're not doing heroin, just, you know, doesn't matter. No. But what happens is the enemy comes in like this, and the devil gets mad at your progress. And so what he does is he sends your thought into overdrive. So now you no longer are looking for God's help. You're judging God's help. And we begin to say things like this that come into our mind. So something didn't happen as quickly as I wanted it to. Or something didn't happen the way I expected it to. And the enemy begins to pick on these things. And so instead of staying focused on the fact that I'm progressing, because there's a future, and as we already talked about, what Steve's been talking about, justification, sanctification, glorification, we've already studied that as we're studying about salvation. The armor is still a benefit of your salvation. You have the right to access this anytime. But a helmet is not a hat. A helmet is a frame of mind, okay? Because remember, Paul is in prison, and he's watching these guys put on these elaborate things and seeing how they work on the outside, but he's saying what we have on the inside is more powerful than what they have on the outside. But hey, recognize you have this weaponry too. But you don't have to put it on. We can keep it on. We're always battle ready. Well, the devil exploits those areas that we can't explain. He picks on our weaknesses. He shows us what's rubble, and he begins to highlight it. And if you're focused while he plants this, it will take root if you're focused on him. But if you're focused on Jesus and he can't get to you, he's not going to give up. He's going to go to somebody close to you and start working on them. They're going to start, you know, nagging. Now, I just want to say for all women, you know, we should not have that reputation as being nags. Okay, I'm just saying. Yeah, thank you. We should not. But here's the thing. When we're in the middle of all this, you have to realize, guys, fear, like an Oreo, it's either healthy or it's not healthy. For those people who are coming off drugs and they need an Oreo, hey, I think that's a healthy alternative. We'll work with you on whatever it is next, okay? You with me. But there's things that are unhealthy with fear, okay? So fear is healthy. When I taught my children, I would turn the burner up on the stove when they're about 3 or 4 and not do that, but, you know, put their hand up where they could feel the heat and then, I'd say, don't touch that. Do not touch that. And they'd be like, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And then every time they go in the kitchen, they'd go, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Why? Because that was a healthy fear, right? You see what I'm saying? But an unhealthy fear is, oh, why don't you just give up? Things are never going to change. Give up. It's not worth the pain. It's not worth what you're having to endure. Just go ahead. So the enemy comes in, and even like with this story with Nehemiah, you're half done. Everybody's seeing your progress. If he can't get you, here comes the people from Judah to chime in. Oh, look at the people. They're getting weary. You know, if you have somebody long enough to tell you, bless your heart. Oh, I couldn't do what you do. Pretty soon you're like, Yeah, I got it rough. And if you stay focused on Jesus, even at that, he's going to bring somebody along beside you, like Sanballat and Tobias and these other people that don't want you to succeed, to mock you. Because the world does not want the Spirit of God to succeed for two reasons. One, because they can't control God. And two, because they don't look good. Well, I could go with number three because they don't want to quit how they're living. But that goes back to control. So here he comes in, and it just makes me wonder, what seed has the enemy planted in the good soil of my mind that where I have the word and I know how to access the word? And we have absolutely zero excuse in the day and time that we live. Is there anybody in here that does not have a cell phone? Raise your hand. That's under the age of 5. And those have tablets, right? Okay, so here's the thing. But you have access to internet, one place. Okay, so here's the thing. Man, you wish you could have had an excuse, don't you? Don't you love it how God does that? Well, here's the thing. We can access the Word of God. Just put in one or two words. Help mind. Boom, 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 boom. The scriptures come up. And you're like, oh, okay. It's just like Judy Jetson. She's hitting the button and, you know, pill form of food's coming out. We can go to the app and hit it and the pill form of food is popping out for your spirit, okay? But the world doesn't want you to accomplish what God has for you. So while Paul's relating this to the benefits of the soldier for what's seen, we know that our power is in what is not seen, but we're so accustomed to the world, we want it to be what we put on. And I watch these young kids, you know, and they're getting younger. But I watched the other day, I had some, Gemma Joy, who's 4, she'll be 5 next month. She loves to go through jewelry, and she'll just put it all on. And then she'll start saying, oh, I need this. Oh, I look pretty. I need this. And you'll be like, you don't need that to be pretty, but I need this. And, and it's cute, and we go, that's cute and everything, but listen, we don't need our kids to believe that it's what they put on that makes them beautiful. We need our kids to know, honey, you're beautiful just the way you are. But they're learning. They're growing, and they're watching, and they're emulating. And here you have the cartoon Fancy Nancy, and she's all foofy and ballet and always has a tutu on and loves Paris, France. And, you know, pretty soon they're emulating that. Well, here's Eli. So I have this thing called the prize box. So if you're good and you come over, I'll let you get in the prize box. But at the end of the visit, they know they get in the prize box, okay? So I have little things like, well, there was a pair of sunglasses in there. So Eli puts it on, but it was amazing to me. He's like, and he put them on, he was like, and all of a sudden his posture and his demeanor changed. And I was like, wow. And then I thought, you do the same thing. You get that mascara rolling, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that looked good. I'm going to do another coat. Ooh, maybe I do 3 so when I cry, I don't lose my, you know, my eyelashes and look like a little snake. Yeah, I'm going to do that again. Guys, the point I'm trying to make to you is this. So easily we can get off focus of what's important. And so we must always encourage one another that it's not what the world says is cool, because when he walks out that door, he knows somebody's going to think he's cool, right? But it's an outward thing. The helmet of salvation is this. We keep saying the helmet of salvation, but I use this particular scripture because it says salvation is the helmet. It's what you have that's going to guard your mind. It's already been given to you. You have the ability to override these things. So the main thought I want to make tonight is that judging things with our feelings, our emotions, or purposes, or desires is a first response of human nature, of man, and not the supernatural mind of Christ. So that's going to be my first reaction. But my reaction when I say human nature, I'm talking about the flesh. When we start talking about the armor, what was the battle about anyway? Between the flesh and the spirit. And the things of Christ represent your spirit. So while you're like, Gay, I could not turn down those Oreos, and you have the proof that they're more addictive than heroin from the latest scientific report, and you gave me Oreos. What I want you to see is that there's something in our minds that is being fed something that leads us to pleasure, and it will even ease pain for a while. But boy, it'll drop you flat once you've gotten in agreement with it. And that's the beauty of what he's saying in this scripture. That's the beauty of what happened in Nehemiah. And I won't even finish the story. I had it all lined out for you, but I won't even finish it because I want you to understand this. Nehemiah had to come back and keep speaking life because everybody else was getting in agreement. And here's what happens. If you're a teacher, you notice and give most attention to the ones that are causing the most trouble. Shade, am I telling the truth? Right? That's the way the enemy plans it. If you're a pastor, after a while, and you just know that there's this, you know, thing, and these people are just, you know, whatever, you lose your focus on what's right with you and your teaching, and you just begin to focus on that. It's just human nature. right? If you're the worship pastor, Mike, you can begin to focus on those who aren't worshiping. What's wrong with me? What did I do? Instead of, man, look at how far that one's come. I mean, when they come in and just look scared, now they just close their eyes and relax, see the Spirit of God on them. But that's how the enemy works in us. If you're at work and there's one person that doesn't like you, that's the one that you think about when you get home, right? You see what I'm saying? So Nehemiah had to come in, and he had to go to the Lord to renew his strength, to renew his mind. So he comes in, and I've put it on your notes. It's Romans 12, 2 through 3, and it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's his perfect will." His will is not a list that I'm going to follow. What? Let me explain. If I'm just saved, okay, he is not going to require me to get up and teach a class and explain the attributes of God. You with me? Right? But after I've been saved for about 10 years, I ought to be able to help somebody understand something about the Word, right? In the natural, I do not expect a six-year-old, even though they've watched every Fast and Furious movie, to get behind the wheel of a car and be able to drive it, much less do tricks, okay? Because how does every child drive? When you turn the steering wheel like this, what's going to happen? You're going to have a wreck, but that's their, ooh, here's a wheel, let's just turn it. God is going to make us accountable for what we know at the level we know it. But I'm telling you, faith is going to progress you so much farther than an unhealthy fear of what the world's opinion is of you or the kingdom of God or everything negative. And so Nehemiah comes in and he says to Tobias and Sanballat, they've sent like four invitations, just come meet with us, because they see it's not working, that the work is still going on. And even after the people of Judah made them scared, oh, they're going to kill us, you know, there's like 1,000 to 1 or whatever the ratio was. So the word says they worked with one hand and had a sword in the other, right? But we know from the armor of God how we're putting it on, that the first thing you put on is truth. And if you don't have that belt of truth, your drawer's going to be falling down. You're going to let go of your armor, and you cannot fight with one hand. All right? So what he did, he said, I'm going to place a trumpeter on the wall, and wherever we see an attack, we're going to blow the trumpet there, and that way you're going to know where to go. Well, here's the beauty in that. We need to be listening for the trumpet sound, because the Lord is coming back. So while I have justification, that is my salvation, that's why I can stand and tell the enemy, I will not fall for this. God is going to help me. If I have to lay down in the floor and just, please don't let me eat an Oreo, you know, well, then get them out of the house. Oh, okay, right? Don't go by the aisle and look at them and pray over them. Don't go and tell other people. I didn't tell you you couldn't have them. I gave you that heroin-laden, worse-than thing because I wanted you to get what I'm saying tonight. There are things that can override your brain naturally, in the natural, things that we do, but also in the spirit. But the spirit is always going to be greater than the flesh. But the question is, what will I focus on? What will I listen to? So while justification, salvation is my helmet, sanctification is me in cooperation with my salvation, staying focused on God. Lord, you know, I'm really struggling. And you're like, okay, and people come in, your mouth's closed, and then you start talking, they see a little black stuff on there, and they're like, did you just eat Oreos? And you're like, oh yeah, okay, well, just one. But what you realize is, I didn't eat the whole pack. right? I'm not condoning sin, and I'm not judging it. I'm telling you, God is saying the difference between when they worked with their full heart and when they got worried is when they quit looking at the progress, because we, the enemy, wants to plant in your mind that there has to be a timing, that it has to go faster. He wants you to think that something's wrong with you for while you're not maturing faster. There may be an area where you're just going to sprout up quick. I've met some people that the gifts and calling are without repentance. And what that means is some of you are just going to be great singers. Some of you are just going to be prophetic people. You're just going to be like, I don't know how I know that, but I'm telling you, something's wrong with that. And this is going to, right? Those are giftings. But here we come into this, but what we're missing is the thing that is the helmet. And that's glorification. I've got a future. This is not all I get. While I'm here, I can't be perfect. Not that I don't try. Not that I don't try to do the things that I know. Go back to healthy and unhealthy. Quit thinking heaven and hell. Stay with me. This is healthy. This is not healthy. This, the reason I fear this is because I'm going down. That's a healthy fear. An unhealthy fear is there's no hope. I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to do whatever it is because I just want peace. Well, if I get in agreement with that, that's definitely not in agreement with God, because I'm telling him I can't do what your word said I can do. You're a liar. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. That's what he says to me. Gay, it's either true or it's not. And if I tell you, you don't have to give in to that, you don't. So make up your mind. Back to the helmet. Make up your mind. Who am I? Can you trust me? Well, yes, but I don't understand. And look, they get away with that. And they are just fine. And you're not letting me be fine with that. They're not my kid. You are. We were just sharing the other night about this little phrase that got me through really as a teenager. Others may, but you cannot. And it was so freeing to me because I didn't have to worry about judging everybody else and where they lined up. I just knew I needed to keep my nose clean. And man, when you do that, when you don't walk in judgment, it's a whole different world, because you don't even hear them after a while. Okay? Yeah, I was merry. You know, I didn't drink. I was merry. I did all this stuff. But guess who they called when they got in trouble? Mary. They didn't call me Mary except behind my back. Hey, can you come pick me up? You know, I've been drinking. I don't want my mom to know. I can't drive. My truck's on the side of the road, right? And they had to walk then. Okay, I'm old school. They had to walk to a payphone to get me. And I was in the Podunk, Arkansas. So wherever they found a phone, it wasn't a happy place. Scared to death. So I'd get in my little beat up Ford Falcon and go drive over and get them and drive them home. I just finally told them, I'm done with this. You're just being stupid. And I'm helping you be stupid. Now give me $3 for gas. I didn't say it, but I did think it. So, if it's your money or your influence that makes you a big man or a big woman, how are you going to pack that in a coffin? Because that has no value with God. Money and influence is just a tool for God. And I want to tell you, my dad had some beautiful tools. He had some hand-carved, like the hand saws that had this intricate stuff because they were handmade, the wood that was put into that saw. Beautiful. But they were still here after he left. Those are just tools that my dad used to make money and to learn skills. I'm telling you, the things that we think are going to have all this value for people's opinion, and that we let the enemy talk us into, well, here's your value. You got to recognize, if everybody in this room agrees that Oreos are healthy, it does not change the fact that Oreos are unhealthy. But we can all get in agreement. Why? Because we want them to be healthy. Well, you said it was better than heroin or cocaine. It's got to be okay. No, I said it's more addicting than heroin. Right? So here's the deal. I want to show you, let's go to page 837, and this is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. So here's the thing. I've got a hope that's sure. I'm not throwing a penny in a wishing well when I come to Jesus. Lord, I hope this works. I'm just going to come in here. I'm going to give you one shot, God. I hope this works. If you were going to be in a relationship with somebody and they came and said, I'm going to give you one shot. If you don't make it happen, I'm out of here. Is that a relationship? No, that's blackmail manipulation. This, y'all better. Whew, mic's cutting out. So here's the thing. I've got, in the New Testament, I've got a hope. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and it says this. We'll start at 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. And here's what he's saying, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So he's backing up. Here's what your helmet is. It is hope that what God said, the things that he's giving me as a benefit of my salvation are true. I have this hope. And then I want you, I'm not even going to go to that because we're getting on. Let's go to page 818, and that's 2 Corinthians. Page 818. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. So here's the thing. I'm going to give you this scripture that you can write down, but we're not going to go there. But Matthew 24, 6 down through verse 10, it says that you're going to have many trials. Yeah, but the trials aren't going to last forever. The devil is a liar. What have we already discussed? What's his only? He's got two main weapons. What are they? I'm going to start giving y'all tests if somebody don't talk up. They're lies and accusation, and accusations are lies. That's the one weapon. If you don't get in agreement with it, it has no power. But if you and I get in agreement with it, we activate the power in our minds. So it said in Matthew, he's saying, it doesn't matter what I'm going through here because I know what I'm going to have there. But if this is YOLO, if this is all I get, then baby, let's break out. Let me get what they got. Well, they're going to be in trouble. Don't follow them. But if I keep my eyes, this is the third part to your salvation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. I've got more than this. I got more than this coming. And you need to think about those people who have now, for thousands of years, been alive with the Savior. So if I'm 1,000 years old, what's 100? But the enemy wants you to see today, it's magnified. This problem is magnified because I've lost hope that there's a future with God and that God can do what he said he can do. So I'm not showing off to people because it's about me. What's happening is God is showing me off to show the devil up. I'm not being a Christian because I'm better than you. I want to be a Christian and do the thing that God wants, one, because it's healthy, because it's going to prosper me while I am here, and two, because he wants to show you and me off. Because when the enemy comes in, we know from Job, he had to go, and God's like, well, take Job, for instance. God set the devil up. That was a God set up, because he knew he could trust Job. Guys, whatever Job went through, God restored him better than before. But we get so focused on what we have that we don't want to lose it. And it's not even an eternal thing. Hope is eternal, guys. I'm always going to have the hope. Oh, God, you're wonderful. God, you're, look at you. but I'm going to have it without the trouble. So now we're going to look at this in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. And this is Paul. And I want you to remember, he's writing to us from prison, watching the soldiers who are lording over him. This man probably has, there's probably not very much on his body that not is not marred from being beaten, thrown around, outcast. And here's what he's saying in verses chapter 4, 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, the enemy wants you to think that there's something you can do to help God. It's not about me. It's about him. He's showing me off to the devil and you off, and we don't even know it. Go ahead. That's the girl I can trust. Go ahead. If she gets it wrong, she's going to come back. But this time, she's going to come back quicker. And that's where I need to see my progress. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not doomed. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in this mortal body. He wants to show you off. He wants things that doctors say can't happen to happen. He wants to show you off. When that mean person thinks they've got you and you're not going to succeed, when you don't let it get you and you get promoted anyway, it's not me showing off. That's God. He's telling the enemy, that's my kid. I'll handle it. And I do find myself sometime in prayer saying, I know I sound like a tattletale, God, but this is what he's done. Not like you don't know it, but I need to say it so I'm sure you know it. He says, so then death is at work in me, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. If you believe something, you're going to start speaking it. It's going to be more than just something that you've heard. And with the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. I've got a hope. This is not all. And when he resurrects me, y'all, I'm going to be tall and skinny. Right? Like I'm going to, you know. Yeah, okay, I know that's really going to happen, but I'm not going to be like I am, okay? I'm not going to have limitations. I'm going to play the piano when I get to heaven, really just whatever I think of, I'm going to play it in any style. And you don't have to believe that, but I do. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people and may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Oh, I'm going to tie it back into Nehemiah. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Because we are now focused back on him. Guys, there's something he's going to do for us. I cannot imagine what it's like to have a pain-free day. I mean, that thought alone is incredible to me. And that I don't feel the weight of my body. That's incredible to me. Because after you stand for a while, you're like moving one leg and moving the other leg. And, you know, man, this head is so heavy when I put my hair on my head. But I'm hot natured and I got to put it up there. Right? I'm not going to have those things. He's prepared a place for me. There's going to be nothing but pure love flowing. I'm never going to cry because somebody broke my heart. I'm never going to cry because I watched somebody get their heart broken. It's going to be fabulous. That is glorification. That is hope. And he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Because I see something good and I just become so grateful. I'm like, God, I just thank you. I just thank you. Listen. When I was giving birth to Charity, I'd already made up my mind. Like, there ain't no crossing your legs and hoping it don't happen. Sorry if that was too graphic, but you know what I'm saying? And so I like, here we go. I'm going to have me a baby. And I was sort of scared about it, you know. And we were watching a football game one day, and they were panning the, you know, that big stadium. And I looked at all those people, and the Lord said, Gay, every one of those babies came the same way yours is going to come. Are they still crying about it and whining? Do moms have support groups? I was like, no. And he's like, no, because it's just one day out of your life. I was like, one day I can do it. Because I wasn't looking at the experience anymore. I was looking at the hope. You with me? I was not looking at the pain. I began to say, there's going to be an end to this. That to me is the definition of glorification. There is going to be an end to me being tempted. Hallelujah. There is going to be an end to me being hurt. Hallelujah. There's going to be an end to me being disappointed, but I will not believe a lie and believe God's the one who's disappointing me. And so, man, I get there, I'm going to have me a baby. Little did I know, 19 and a half hours later, the same shift I started with is now come back on shift. You're still here? You know, if you want to slug somebody, don't talk to a pregnant woman about that time. Right? I'm like, still here. Push. Yeah. But it was one day. And finally, this doctor comes. You know, Christmas Day, they down to one doctor. And I think there were like, I don't remember how many babies were born that day. It was like record breaking. And so they leave me because I'm not on epidurals and stuff that has to be monitored because I'm natural. Have me a baby natural. Right? So they're willing to just let me stay in there, and they're prioritizing these other people they have to keep watching. And I'm going to tell it. Don't act like I'm not going to tell it, Steve. He's drinking coffee, and I can smell it on his breath. I'm like, you're drinking coffee. Get out of here, you know. I didn't say it like that, but I'm sure it sounded like that to Steve because he's quite imaginative. No, because you tell it through the Steve version, evangelistically speaking. I'm just going to tell it how it was. But I do remember, yeah, I just kept remembering thinking, and I was watching the clock, and this lady came and she goes, you need to quit watching the clock. I said, no, because in one day this is going to be over. And I had set that goal. Guys, how long is time to the Lord? I'm hearing different things. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is at a day. So to me, I'm looking at my spiritual life, and I'm saying, God, it's just one day. One day, you and I are going to be together. And then I no longer am pressured by this thing because I have salvation on, and it's the hope of salvation, not the rope of salvation, not the ball and chain of salvation. If that's what salvation is to you, you will never be set free. But I'm telling you, when I realize I got a hope, there's something coming for me, and I'm not going to let it stop by getting in agreement with the enemy. When I have no reason to judge God so harshly, I need to look at where I came from. I need to look at what he's done in my life. Did I have some bad bumps? Absolutely. Did you have them? Absolutely. That's why we should be speaking in faith to one another. Dude, I know that's hard, but you can overcome it. You don't understand. You know, I went and did this last night and I reverted back. I don't care about last night. Where are you today? Do you want to do that again? Well, no, I feel really bad. Then stop feeling bad because the devil's going to beat you up with that guilt tool and start saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Start filling your faith gun with bullets. Begin to say, when I'm weak, he's strong. Begin to say to him, God, I cry out to you. Where can I go from your presence? Not because you're hunting me down like a dog, but where can I go from your presence? Because your wings are spread over me to protect me from the fallout of this world. I will climb under your wing. Draw me close, God. That's the difference in the helmet being your salvation and your salvation being filled with hope, because that is glorification, because God gets all the glory. I don't need the glory. I don't know what to do with glory, and I don't want the glory, Because if I have to figure out how to do it, I'm going to have to keep spinning the plate to keep it. And I'm happy to tell people, to God be the glory. And I don't mean this in a braggy way, but I want you to hear me. When I got out of the car and I found out that I'd won that council race, when the group of people were waiting on the lawn for me, because they knew the same thing I knew when I got to the house, I just, to God be the glory. And they're like, to God be the glory. It's him. And I was like, yes. And I'm crying again. And it was because I'm humbled by the goodness of God. If God owes you a debt, you're not humbled. I'm humbled by the goodness of God. I'm made fully aware that it's his mercy and grace that covers me. And I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus. And I'm not going to be a bargain basement product. He paid full price for me. Why would I go and reduce myself to I'm not worth what you paid? I will be his beloved. And the value he paid for me will be seen, because my mouth will testify to the goodness of the Lord. Now, some of you are like, you know, they're going to talk about their dead daughter. Well, you know what? I remember in that room when the chaplain came in, and, you know, we knew what was going on because of what Steve does. But the kids were in the room. And when the surgeon, you know, we tried to do whatever, and, you know, her body was mangled and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the chaplain, you know, whatever, he's going to whatever. I just lifted my hands. Steve will tell you this is true. And I said, God, I will never be mad at you, and I will never hate you. I will thank you for giving me 18 years with her. But I didn't cry. I was very strong, because the anointing of God had come on me, because it was more important to me to thank God for letting me have her than curse God for taking her. Because, guys, she's been glorified. I want to be glorified, and I want him to receive glory on earth. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Thank you, love. Oreos. The things taken in that work on your mind. Guys, the battle just isn't in the emotions. The battle is in the physical. But there is a God in this room tonight who has deposited the spirit of Jesus that raised him from the dead, that the depression, the discouragement, the darkness, the doubt, the disappointment, the disillusion, and all D words mean is you're flunking, not passing. So I want you to hear me. That spirit is alive in you tonight, Eric. That spirit calls to you in the middle of the night when you're doubting who you are. And it doesn't make any difference. She's got the faith for you. There's something in you that you need to have it. And when we cry out to him, don't cry out, oh, it didn't happen in 5 minutes. It can happen in 5 minutes. God's answered me in 5 minutes. But sometimes it takes 5 years for me to see the work he's done, because it's gradual, because he knows if it goes too fast as far as this girl's concerned, I'll take credit for it, because he knows him. He knows me. So tonight, that spirit is alive in you. And I want us to stand tonight, and I want us to say over our minds, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God, because I got something to look forward to. I've got salvation right now, where he has applied before me the anointing to help me in situations that I couldn't handle. That's a benefit of your salvation. There's a glory that God's going to get from it. And you may not even see the power of this, but Bryce, honey, I'm telling you something. When you make a standard for Jesus, like you've said, and everybody in here can say, I made that standard. Can everybody in here also say, I've been tempted? Y'all better be telling the truth up to her. Come on. Yes. But Bryce, there's going to be something to it for you. Because I'm telling you, I know I've told this to you before, but I want you to hear me. There's somebody else who has the same standard. And that little woman is looking for the man who has her standard. And I don't want you to give up on what God has for you, because it's going to be beautiful. And so this is the thing. I have to make up my mind. I trust God's ability to override my failures more than I believe my failures are going to override God's ability to move me forward. Do I want to sin? No. Do I want to keep repeating these things? No. But I will not listen to the enemy. My wall may only be halfway there, but I don't see rubble. I see possibility. My wall may only be a third of the way done, but I'm not going to let him tell me why I can't finish, because the Word of God tells me that I can, because I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. My Word tells me that when I am weak, not only is he strong, but the Word says he sends to undergird me, and that there are places and times where he can hide me. And sometimes I have to say that word, God, please just hide me right now. Take me higher in my mind to your pavilion where I'm not hearing this stuff. And he does. And peace comes. And the temptation goes. So I want you just to close your eyes tonight. Lord, we just accept this truth that a benefit of salvation that you have given us is the ability to hear you and the ability for the Spirit to speak to me louder than the enemy. And God, I'm going to give you that time. God, help me. I'm growing weary from hearing all this. I'm just growing weary, God, all these demands. Calm my spirit, Lord. Calm my spirit. Don't let me see a face. Let me hear your voice. I'm just going to close my eyes and focus on you. And that is the definition of faith. I'm going to close my eyes and focus on you. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My hope will not be deferred. That makes my heart sick. But my hope will be restored. My hope is in you, Lord. Just tell them that. My hope is in you, God. My hope is in you. Now, some of you right now, you're going, well, if she's right, then I'm going to have to give up, you know, this or that. Stop looking at the thing and keep looking at him. And one day you're just going to realize you're walking without the thing, or the things, if it's a person, God's either going to bless that or he's going to separate you from it because of his love. Because I can trust him. Lord, we just thank you tonight that peace is going to rain on people. I'm asking you tonight, guys, don't leave here and try to figure out tomorrow. The Bible says tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. Let's just live out today and get some rest in our soul and in our minds and wake up tomorrow grateful. Amen. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. There is hope for me. All right, y'all finish those Oreos or I'm going to put them in the trash. All right, love you.